November 19th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 61.
Exactly Dante's Inferno, but close enough.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry, episode 61 of Nowhere in Mulberry, and I'd like you to join us this week as we talk about film, television, and pop culture. Alright, shut up, Jason. I don't do this alone, I do it with some other people. How about I introduce them? We have Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot, here on my left. How you doing, Steven?
Doing just fine.
Also, we have here the Mulberry historian, Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm great, and I'd like to thank you for playing that Kelsey Grammer clip. I enjoy anything of his. He's a true thespian.
Yes, he's got a great bibliography. I couldn't
bibliography?
He's got
resume?
A great resume. Yeah, that's good.
Resume.
That's good. Also there, we have Vanessa, or the Mulberry newswoman. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm swell.
You doing all right? Vanessa, you camping out for the PS3 this week?
Never, ever, ever buy a console right when it comes out. That's the dumbest thing you can do.
Yeah, I know. But let's go ahead and get into that right now. The PS3 came out this week. Everyone keeps seeing it on the news, every channel, people camping out. But here's the main thing. It's what you hear on every news story. It's not about getting the game to play the games. It's about selling it on eBay.
Yes.
That's what everyone's trying to do. Have you guys caught this? So I'm thinking all these people who are camping out, how many of them really want to play? Get home, pop it in, start playing games?
I'm taking a week's vacation to camp
out. I'd say maybe 5% of them.
It seems like, yeah, most of them, most people are going to get the PS3 and then they're going to put up on eBay. And even the local news, which I think is weird, some old biddy talking about the PS3 and knows nothing about video games. She's talking about it recently sold on eBay for $4,500. And it's like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have this, here's kind of a couple of news clips going on. And this one was hilarious. It's these guys hired some homeless people to stand in line for them. Let's check it out.
Genius. It doesn't go on sale until Friday, but people are already lining up to buy Sony's new PlayStation 3. Outside one carry store, the line started forming just before noon today. And it appears people will stop at nothing to be first in line. WRL's Ken Smith shows us what's driving
the craze. Tell us about it, Ken.
At this carry department store, the line starts here.
It's, you know, one of those things.
The target? Sony's highly anticipated PlayStation 3.
Supply and demand.
Gamers and people trying to make a quick buck are going to great lengths to get their hands on this latest electronic craze.
You make a lot of money. You had a few of them.
Thomas Rosati and his buddies are first in line at this store, but shortly after they pitched their tent, they got company.
Whoa, that's kind
of a truck rolls up,
scene.
Like one of those enclosed like U-Haul trucks, and like seriously, like 50 people roll out, and he says they got them from the homeless shelter.
While we were there, the truck used to transport the men from the homeless shelter returned with food for the men. Abdul Salam says he and his buddy came up with the idea. They plan to pay the men $100 a day to stand in line for a ticket.
Wow.
To purchase a PS3.
Unbelievable.
It costs around $600.
It's got to be the eBay incentive.
The eBay incentive is all about money. The going price on the site for a PlayStation 3 unit is approaching $2,000. Salam calls his arrangement with these men from Raleigh's homeless community a win-win proposition.
Thought we could actually lend them a hand as well, toss them a few bucks, you know, at the same time.
And the carry target plans to start handing out those tickets Friday morning at 8 a.m. It may not take long to sell out since the store only has 8 units.
They only have 8 units, and the guys hired
50 guys.
Yeah, and there's only 8 there. So anyone who really wants the game to go home and play it is not going to get it.
No.
They're not going to get it.
I know. I don't know why. It was the same thing with when the PS2 came out. Why can't they wait? I'm sorry, they don't release a lot of good launch titles anyway, so what's the point?
And they're all buggy and...
Yeah.
Yeah, was the number one thing is the thing is a Blu-ray player, right? It's
right.
The cheapest Blu-ray player you can get because they're all $1,000. Okay, The Blu-ray player right now on the PS2 will not play high definition. Am I right, Bill? That's what I keep reading.
You're correct. It will not play. It depends on your set. It won't play 1080i. And if you don't have a 720p set, it down-reses to 480p.
Which is a DVD.
Yeah, it's just a complete disaster.
So if I bought that, I'd get home and go, all right, I'm going to play this game in high def. What the hell? It's not working. Now, here's the best part about all these news stories. Sometimes they send women out who know nothing about video games. And I wanted you to hear this story, Vanessa, because the lady keeps referring to it as a game. I was talking to a girl about it, and she's wondering what a girl is doing there. Let's check this out.
In order to come out here and camp out. I don't do anything, honestly. I don't know, random things.
That's something you don't want to admit.
Money, you know? They just want something to occupy their time, occupy their money, but I'm just doing it for the thrill, something to get out of my, you know, usual. So.
And you are a girl. Us girls, we don't really fit into this kind of environment with all the gaming.
What?
I just thought that
technically, that girl is a hermaphrodite. She also has a penis.
Well, what I thought was funny about that is the girl really has no information. You can tell she's sitting there to post it on eBay.
Yeah.
She's there for a friend. She's not there because she likes video games. She wants to post it on eBay and make like $5,000 for her $600 investment.
Just like everyone else was. I don't think there was a single person in those lines that actually took it home and played it.
Well, we were talking about, like, some stores didn't know what to do. They're like, okay, we have five PS3s. We have 300 people out there. And this guy comes up with an idea. What was this, at Walmart? Like, hey, let's set out five chairs. Let's set out five chairs and just have them race to the chairs. Whoever gets in the chair gets
a PlayStation. Should have played a big, giant game of musical chairs.
What happens when they
keep
that?
Shrinking it down?
The guys run out to the chairs, and what happens? Somebody gets hurt.
Pandemonium.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest idea. It's like, why don't you just have them arm wrestle for
Here's what I would do. I would have a raffle.
Yeah, exactly.
$5 tickets go to autism or something.
Vanessa just got it. You need to get one of those over-the-top pads and have people arm wrestle for it.
But don't you guys think that... Okay.
No, I like your idea of you hand out tickets to everybody, and then you draw
you
five.
You even sell them. You say, we only have five PS3s, but here, $5 gets you a ticket. It goes to charity, and you can get as many as you want, $5 a piece. That all goes to charity. So some guy's like, I really want this. I want to sell it on eBay. I'm going to buy $100 worth of tickets. That all goes to autism research or diabetes.
Yeah, do a raffle.
Cancer,
instead
blah, blah, blah.
Of like... There was one place I saw, everyone was camping out for 2 days, and then they're like, okay, I don't know what to do. Okay, here's what we do. Let's tell them to form a new line here, and the first five people get a PlayStation. So there's mad pandemonium. People who've been camping out in the front of the line for 3 days are like, what? I've been sitting here in the front of the line, camped out in a tent in front of your store? And now you're telling me I got to run to another line?
See, that's where it comes in, like you say, you would sell tickets. That way, it would eliminate the whole camping situation. It's like, look, everybody's going to have the same chance to get this.
Well, how much of this is Sony's fault for not releasing enough units on their release day?
It was smart.
It's all Sony's fault. It's the law of supply and demand, but it's also the fact that they cannot produce enough of these and have them be reliable. There's already, you know, word coming out now of the flashing red light of death, where you turn it on and it beeps and flashes this red light and it's dead.
Yeah.
And it's completely unreliable. These people are spending ridiculous sums of money on these things.
I would definitely wait till Christmas or something.
I mean, even past that, wait till February of next year. Do you have to have it now?
Wait one price drop. Don't wait for the second one.
But also,
go out and get an Xbox 360 and Gears of War. It's freaking fantastic.
And I got to say this. I would not buy... Okay, this bit me in the ass with the Dreamcast. I wanted a Dreamcast because of Codename Veronica.
Uh-huh.
One game. That's all I wanted. And I got that one game, and then I'm like... You know, there were some other games that weren't bad, you know, Crazy Taxi, stuff like that. But all I had to wait was a couple of months, and it was out on a PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dreamcast went away, and I have this system sitting in my closet.
Yep. It just amazes me. They knew what to expect, okay? They knew when the PlayStation launched, the PS2 launched, the Xbox 360, the Wii. They should have something in place already, like, okay, we're going to do this because we know there's going to be people who want to get in, and they're going to wait out and camp out. But they should know what to do by now.
Right. I mean, so many systems have launched now. And you know what? Nintendo Wii, it's got my attention. $250 Yeah. Nintendo's doing the right thing. They're saying, we want kids to buy this thing. We're not putting out other price range for $600. What the hell is that?
It looks like a lot of fun, and from what I understand, today, whenever it was released, which is Sunday, people, you know, just lined up, and there were plenty of them to go around. You didn't need to camp out.
Is that what the lines were last night? I went to a Best Buy, and I saw them. I guess they were waiting for the Wii.
Yeah. It was released last night at midnight.
I'd rather have a game system that not only could I afford, but I could afford the games. I'm not going to pay $60 per game
or
whatever.
Well, this would be a brilliant plan if Xbox and PlayStation would have done this. They give you packages. Like, one is just the bare-bones game system. That's one price. Then you could have had, okay, now I want it with the Blu-ray. Add a different price. Have a different bunch of different packages.
The PS3 does have two different packages, though. They have the 20
gigabyte. Yeah, but the only real difference is... there's a 20 gig and a 60 gig, and the 60 gig one also has a memory card slot or something.
Yeah, and it also comes with the Will Ferrell movie on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, man. Which I'm hearing the reviews of the playback of the Blu-ray is awful.
How bad is that? You release it with a... That's the only thing I could think. If I really wanted an HD DVD player, a Blu-ray, I'm not going to spend $1,000. I'll get one for $600. I get it. It doesn't even work, man.
Yeah.
This would you be? Oh, man.
There was a Best Buy in Burbank that people were camped out for the PS3, and it depends on the owner of the land whether or not people can camp out. And these people camped out, and then I think it was the day before the release, they came out and kicked all the people off the property.
Nice.
So anybody that was camped out was, sorry.
We got some voicemail this week. Let's check out the first voicemail and see how it is. By the way, show was delayed. We're doing it a day later than we usually do it because my daughter was sick this week.
Is she better?
Yeah, she's feeling better. I didn't have time to do clips and stuff like I usually do, and Foggy do a lot of them, so voicemail kind of piled it up. Let's go ahead and check it out, okay?
Hey, Mulberry guys. I am calling because you said you wanted feedback, and you said to let you guys have it. So I guess I bet the reason you're not getting any feedback lately and the forums have dried up is because people are probably getting bored of the show. I know that. Whoa. I am. I used to love this show and look forward to the next episode, but I don't know. Lately it's kind of been getting to be almost like a chore getting through every week. Because
wow.
It seems like it's the same thing every week. And I know that's like a format that you guys want to stick to and everything. But even the jokes seem to get a little bit stale and repetitive. The
jokes?
Reviews of every show seems like the same complaints every week about every show.
How like did the chicken cross the road?
Smallville, same complaint about Smallville. Lost, same complaint about Lost.
We're complaining?
Not adding anything new, and it's almost as if someone should call a review your show and make fun of it because there's nothing new on your show either, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Lately,
that.
It seems like the only funny thing on the show is the drops you guys have, which are, I will say, hilarious.
Man.
Wondering lately even if Foggy exists or if he's actually just one of you guys.
So, I will
probably keep listening. You know, but maybe people aren't
enthusiastic
enough
to
leave feedback because they're just getting a little bit bored. Maybe switch things up, add a different segment or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
like video games.
Anyway, good luck, guys. Talk to you later.
We'll look into that. And
it's a video game.
Can I just say right now that Foggy is getting sick of people saying he's not real? But we've decided a long time ago that...
Look, he's fading away because nobody believes in him anymore.
Like Marty McFly.
We've decided a long time ago Foggy's not going to talk on the show because it's our shtick and we're just not going to change that. I mean, either you believe he's real or you're not. It doesn't matter.
Now, like Santa.
If you're getting bored with the show, there's nothing I can do about that. I'm being as entertaining as I can, I guess. I'm sorry about my joke telling. Every week I tried to tell... write some really good jokes. Now, when people say jokes, are they talking about just funny stuff we say? Or I don't prepare jokes. Steven, do you prepare jokes? What's that steno pad you have on your left? Yeah, I was thinking maybe he meant the drops, but then he says he likes the drops, so I was confused by that. But if he's getting bored with the show...
Is the jokes what we make when we make fun of the shows? But then again, he doesn't like us making fun of the shows.
Maybe our recurring Green Arrow stuff is getting old. I don't know what to say.
No, the Green Arrow stuff will never get old.
It's gold, Jerry. But, okay, we complain about Smallville every week. We have the same complaints about Lost. Actually, no, we don't have the same complaints every week. We're talking about individual episodes.
But I don't think we really complain.
No, we're not complaining.
We just discuss the merits of the episode.
Here's another thing I want to say, okay? When we do the show, it's the first time I'm talking to you guys for the whole week. It's the first time I'm talking to Vanessa, first time I'm talking to Steven, or I'll talk to Bill on the MSN or something. But it's the first time we talk about stuff, about our week. So when we're talking about Smallville, it's the first time I'm talking about it with you guys. So we're not talking about the same things. We're just talking about the individual episode. And, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but, you know, I appreciate your feedback and all, but I don't know. We'll try harder. I don't know what to say. But,
I mean, do we need to change up shows that we're watching?
Now,
know?
Vanessa says she wants to do a video game segment, but I've told her a million times that you can do a video game.
Wants to listen to girls talk about video games.
Yeah, because girls don't know anything about video games. No.
Exactly.
No, what I was going to say, Vanessa, is prepare a segment and you can do it, but you've never prepared one. So,
No, you guys just said never to do it. No, nobody will want to hear that. That's what you guys were saying.
No, we didn't.
Oh, give me a break. That was made up.
I never said a word one about...
Why don't you write it, Vanessa, write some new jokes, all right? Okay, let's listen
to it. Didn't we talk about video games one time before? It was like a five-minute segment.
I think episode 17 we talked about.
It's not like DVDs where... I don't know. I'm just saying this out. I don't know, but like there's... How many times does a game come out every week that you want to play?
Right. Yeah, how many times does a great game, like an event game, come out?
That's what I'm saying. It's probably not an every week segment of video games.
No, this is what I'm saying. I don't. Let's do a video game segment for Vanessa. You can do one. You can do it like DVDs. But like name what video games that you recommend for the week. We can do that.
But she also has to read it in her porn voice.
Can you do that, Vanessa?
Sure thing.
All right. Let's move on to another voicemail.
Hi guys. This is Brock. Felt guilty after listening to your last show when you guys, well, pretty much begged and probably pleaded, if you want to use the word pleaded. I'm going to use it. You begged and pleaded for us to call in and let you know that we're listening. Dude, we're listening. Perhaps if you had some sort of cool contest or maybe an 800 number, so I wouldn't have to pay long distance fees, I would call more.
Oh, I didn't realize
this. I did have a thought, though. You guys were wondering why on earth they had, like, you know, the Bond sets and they mix up the Daltons and the Moores and the Connerys and the... Well, because no one's going to buy the Daltons individually. I mean...
That's true.
Yeah.
Second one.
It's a good point.
Great movie, not a great James Bond movie, but it's a good movie. You know, so you know, this way you get a little bit of anything, and they get rid of the crap like Moonraker that no one's going to buy. Just
good
a
point.
Thought.
Hey, Moonraker was classic.
You're happy
classic
now.
Crap.
You're happy. That's great. And feel free to have a great show because we all know you're going to. And my best to Vanessa and
thank you.
The rest of the crew.
Wait, why just Vanessa?
And the rest
and
of the crew.
To y'all.
Maybe that guy sounds an awful lot like Eugene.
No, it's not. Thanks, Brock. He's got a good point about the James Bond set, because I was saying that why would they package all the different Bonds together? It's because they want you to buy
them. They're going to get rid of
them. I got to say, License to Kill isn't a bad movie, like he said. It's just a lot of people have always said it's a good movie. It's not a great Bond movie. It could have been, you know, John McClane or something.
Yeah.
But it's a decent flick. And thanks for calling in, Brock. I know about the voicemail. Come on, it's like 10 cents. Come on. And I've always said, if anyone wants to call into the show, call 1-206-202-3491. Say anything. Hate our show. Love it. Go ahead. If you would like to send an MP3 of comments, do that too. Email us at NIMPodcast.
That's free.
Yeah, NIMPodcast.
Yeah, that would be better.
NIMPodcast@gmail.com. Do that, and we'll play that on the show.
Would sound a whole hell of a lot better than our voicemail.
Yeah. It's not great quality. Okay, let's check out another voicemail.
Apparently, guys only want positive feedback.
Uh-oh, so Tim.
You probably don't really care to hear what this has to say, but
Is this the same guy?
I think I'm over your show. Okay. It's pretentious.
Whoa.
It's hypocritical. And worst of all, it's not funny anymore. So, there's feedback for you guys.
Thank you.
Whoa, why are we hypocrites again?
And pretentious? How do we get pretentious?
Is he talking about Vanessa, or is he talking about all of us?
Fight me.
Who's not funny?
I'm sorry, I've been watching too much IFC.
No, seriously, what the hell just happened? hold on a second.
Apparently, guys only want positive feedback. So, you probably don't really care.
Oh, okay, I know what happened. Okay. We got the first voicemail a week ago. Okay. Episode 60 came out, his voicemail wasn't on there, so now he's kind of mad, saying, I guess you didn't want good feedback. Dude, we just didn't get to play it on the show. I'm sorry, but we're playing it this week.
Okay.
But I guess that's why he's mad. And you know what? We got another freaking voicemail from, and I haven't got a chance to hear this. Foggy told me that we got it in, and I was just like, whatever, we'll play it. I've had enough of this complaining guy, but let's check it out, okay?
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say another thing to you pretentious assholes. I also don't appreciate Steven making jokes about ACDC last episode. And,
Jesus Christ.
I do really like that historian of ass, Bill. I want to make some history with him, if you know what I'm saying.
No way. Sorry. Exit only, Bill.
You're even stupider than I thought you were, because you're really stupid to begin with. So if you don't understand that, then you're really stupid. Okay? So just shut up. Okay.
I think I've heard this guy's voice before.
Yeah, it sounds very familiar.
I'm not listening to your show anymore. What else? And you know what? I like Smallville. Smallville's a good show. And he's a really good actor, and it's got good special effects and good direction. Michael Rosenbaum is an excellent actor. All right. Don't want to hear any more about that. I'm sick of it! Stop talking about Smallville like that!
Oh,
Smallville's a good show! I love Smallville!
Must be related to Eugene.
Also, Lost is a pretty good show, too, and, well, sometimes I agree with you guys on Lost, because it just goes nowhere. I can't wait till it comes back. But I'm not listening to your show anymore, because I've had it with you guys. You're not funny, and most of all, you're pretentious. That's right, pretentious. P-E-R-E K-E-N-T I-O-U-S. That's right, pretentious. Okay, Jason, Vanessa, you're crappy news. Hey, here's a newsflash, you fuck. Hey, here's the DVD of the week. Hey, it's Bill. Well, Bill is Lussis. Don't get me wrong. Historian of ass. More like historian of stupidity. What do you guys think of that, huh? I'm going to do my own podcast, making fun of nowhere in Mulberry. Mulberry sucks. By the way, Steven, I hear you breathing all the time during the show. At least I know you're alive. But hey, it's called pushing the mic away from your mouth. Do we got to hear you breathing during every segment of the show? Jesus Christ! But anyway, I won't be listening to your show anymore and all that kind of stuff, and I hope you guys all burn in hell! Thank you! Have a nice day! Good day, sir! Bye!
Sounds like my next boyfriend.
Well, that was a huge opening segment. What do you say we get into entertainment? Let's do it.
Son of a...
Whoa, what the hell's that lady's problem? Okay, Bill, Tony Scott has made a new flick, baby.
I'm so excited.
Apparently he loves my man Denzel. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. And I got a new movie. It's called Deja Vu. And it looks pretty cool. And you know what? Originally when I saw the commercial, I laughed at it. But when I saw the theatrical trailer, I'm like, all right, I'm going to check this out. Looks pretty good.
Is everybody getting into this Groundhog Day kind of thing?
Yeah. We got Daybreak. We got Deja Vu. Let's check it out.
Huh? You think you know what's coming? You don't have a clue.
Hey, that's Jesus.
It's a phenomenon known as deja vu. It's a phenomenon.
Huh?
Known as deja vu.
Didn't we just hear that? Hey, I wrote that specially for this.
Good joke, Steven.
At a place you've never been.
Should have practiced it more in the mirror, though.
But it feels familiar. But it feels familiar. You look into the face of a stranger.
Stranger?
And you feel like you've known her all your life.
Have we met?
Yeah. No, we have.
Deja vu is believed by many to be a trick of the mind. But the truth is far more extraordinary.
What if I had to tell someone? Most important thing in the world, but you knew they'd never believe you.
I try. Doug, I've been put in charge of a newly formed investigative unit. I want you on the team.
Why me?
We've got some unique time constraints.
He has been shown a secret.
It's a brand new program. We can look anywhere, 4 days in the past.
The government doesn't want you to know.
This is not surveillance. This is the actual past.
Yes.
They found a way to fold space back onto itself.
Remember that lockout we had a few years back?
Half the Northeast.
You're saying you guys?
50 million homes?
My bad.
Wow.
Wait a second, is this time cop?
Wait a second, I can look anywhere 4 days in the past. Guess what, I can too. It's called a newspaper.
No, they don't use rocket sleds in this one.
To tell someone the most important thing.
Yeah, where does the rocket sled go when he gets to the past?
You got to think about that.
Oh, yeah. Suspension of disbelief.
I know you don't have to do this.
Well, I already have.
Deja vu. If you think it's just a feeling, go back and look again.
Ooh. Awesome.
You know what? I'm all for a sci-fi action movie. I'll see it, but probably not until it's on DVD.
Yeah, but go ahead and call it Time Cop. That's what it is, right?
Essentially.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, without the time sled.
It's got my man Denzel in it. That's all I know. And that's enough.
I love Denzel. He's hot.
Let's check out what's on our TiVos. What do you say?
Yeah.
Get out. Whoa. Why do I got to get out? All right. What's on our TiVo? Now, before we get into our regular shows, I was catching a glimpse of America's Top Model. Now, I don't usually watch this show. You guys know that. But this chick, it's my favorite thing that this girl did. She pulled the suicide card. Have you ever seen this? Someone who's really whining. They're crying about their life. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And then she pulls the suicide card. And everyone's like,
attention whore.
Yeah. Let's check this out.
I'm sick of people thinking that models can't feel. I'm sick of people thinking this career is just something that is just like so great. It's hard. I see people break down in front of panel and have their dreams smashed. I want this so bad. I've been through so much. I have tried killing myself.
Carrie D revealed something that was very personal. That was just like a shocker, you know, to all of us.
Because I know what it feels like. To want to die and not live anymore.
Dear.
And for the first time in my life,
because I can't
feel
model
like I'm
anymore.
Doing something right.
I love smashed dreams. They're tasty.
The music where it's like, yeah, and I'm real upset. And guess what? One time I tried to kill myself. It makes it better with the background music, doesn't it?
I think they have the music people from Smallville.
Yes, they do. All right, let's go ahead and get right into Heroes. Let me say, first off, I thought it was the best Heroes episode, period. What do you guys think?
It was really yes. good. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was good.
It was all set up for next week. Awesome. Looks really good. We got to see the silhouette of Siler.
Mm-hmm.
Endo and Hero were in this nice little quaint diner, and they meet this nice chick who apparently her powers, I guess she can understand any language.
She can learn really fast.
Right. She just picks everything up. Yeah. But there's also this whole Mohinder thing where he's back in India laying his dad to rest. And he keeps having these very prophetic dreams, would you say?
Yes.
About this little boy with a soccer ball. And I'm like, Mohinder doesn't have powers, right? He's just...
I think he does.
Do you think he has powers?
You figured out who it was at the end, right?
What, the little boy? Was it Mohinder?
No, it's his it's his sister that died.
That was a girl?
Yes.
That was,
she was hot.
I thought that was a boy.
No, that's his sister who died when he was 5.
And his sister had...
His sister had powers, which made his father obsessed with this power thing.
And now he's having... He got to see his dad in a dream beaten to death, or his head slammed into a window repeatedly and his neck snapped. I think I would want to skip past that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I...
And all he sees is a watch, by the way. It's his only clue to who killed his dad.
Right.
Basically, this episode, what it was, is Mohinder to get back on track, get interested again, want to continue his dad's work, right?
Mm.
But also, there's the whole thing with Matt Parkman and Nuclear Man, as I'm calling him, because I'm a big Superman 4 fan, Quest for Peace. And apparently, they have a lot of things in common. They both passed out, woke up with a mark on their neck. They both have these powers manifesting and all that. Cut to... horn rim glasses guy, and he works for a paper company, which I was like, is it Dunder Mifflin from The Office?
I believe it was.
And he's got Isaac there, and it looks like now we know that the cute chick, she has powers of suggestion. She can whisper in your ear and put things in your head. So he's clean. He's clean shaven. He's all cleaned up. Horn rim glasses guy, he has a nice conversation with Isaac. Let's check it out.
This girl, the one you've painted here and here and there, she's my daughter, my Claire.
It's Claire Bear.
This man here goes by the name of Siler. He's gonna kill her tomorrow night at her homecoming game.
Why?
Because she's special, like you, and that makes her a target.
Like me.
You're not the only one with special abilities, Isaac. There are others. Siler is killing them, one at a time.
If you know who he is, then why can't you stop him?
Because nobody knows where he is. I need your help. I need you to paint this painting.
I'm sorry. I've been trying. I can't.
Were you guys waiting for him to go? But my friend Peter can. Let's get him on the phone.
Fine.
Never thought of
that. You use your abilities without this, but right now there just isn't time.
I'm fighting to get my life back. You want me to just throw it away?
Here's an 8-ball.
Yeah.
Here's a little smack.
For many years
don't
now,
be so selfish, Mr. Painter Man.
Tracking, locating, monitoring people like you. Sometimes the process goes smoothly, as in your case.
You know how expensive this smack is on the Odessa black market?
Some people misinterpret our motives and go very wrong. 14 years ago, there was just such a case, which sadly ended in a death. The woman left behind a baby girl who had no one to take care of her. My wife and I had been having a hard time conceiving a child of our own at the time.
Couldn't get it up.
And it was like...
So people have been cheating.
Have you seen his wife? Could you?
God has given us a miracle. Isaac, this is
I think his wife's more involved with her dog.
I'm begging you.
Let me try one more time.
Mr. Muggles.
Mr. Muggles.
That was a good clue there. We know now that superpowered people existed 14 years ago. What I thought from the pilot is an eclipse happened and people got powers, but that apparently is not so. People have been evolving over time, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hero has become really good friends with this girl. They're hanging out. They're having a good time. He's flirting with her back and forth. She seems to like him. She goes to open a can of something, and all of a sudden you hear, the top of her head's been cut off, and she's dead. And you can see on the wall, they even make sure to show it, that it's a picture celebrating her birthday, and she's by herself, and Hero says, you know, I've had enough of these people dying around me, essentially. I have these powers. I'm going to go back and change it. I'm going to go stop her before she comes to work and then she will be out of danger. Which is kind of silly. How does he know that? You know, Siler's probably following her around. But anyway.
Why don't you just go back a few hours and keep her from going in the back?
Because he can't control his powers that well yet.
Yeah, because he says, don't worry, Ando, I'll be back in 5 seconds. Count to five. Ando counts to five, nothing. This time, I bet you he went back like a couple of weeks. So he goes to meet the girl a couple of weeks ago. Or no, a couple of weeks in the past. Mm-hmm. He can't go ahead because she's dead already. So if he goes in the past, he meets her, and they show in a picture. He's now with her in the picture of her birthday. So I thought that was really cool. And so we know now that Isaac is painting something. We don't know what he's painting, but horn-rimmed glasses guy. When are we going to know this guy's name so I don't have to say that anymore? He is going to find out something, and we know that Peter's somehow going to show up and help. So I can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. I thought this is a great episode. It really, you know, excellent. All right, let's get into Smallville, which, you know, I thought last week was the best episode of Smallville I'd ever seen. It was this
week.
Well,
that's debatable, because every week is excellent.
Lex and Lana, they're having a good time living together, but she's got a secret. She's pregnant, and she doesn't know how to tell Lex. Meanwhile, the 142's in the house, and they tell him to get to the panic room or something. And all of a sudden, he becomes Vanessa. Picture static on a TV, but in a silhouette of Lex, and he disappears. It's very shocking, and no one knows what's going on. What I thought is he became like the guy in Aha in the Take On Me video. Like he's a pencil.
Yeah, he went into this like special hand-drawn world.
Yeah, he was like a pencil cartoon man. I thought
they
should
have done that.
They should have. That would have been awesome. Like some kind of guy, a meteor freak with art.
Drawn you into pencil universe.
He injects meteor ink into his pencil whenever he draws.
Yeah, and then he would have
awesome.
To run away from guys in racing glasses and helmets.
Yeah, one of them's got a wrench, shatters the panel. Okay, we're getting way off track here. Okay, meanwhile, Clark finds out there's a Phantom Zone freak in Seattle who is
tearing up Starbucks.
He's
all over the
basically
place.
Draining people of their bone marrow. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he's feeding
he's
on their
ripping their spines out. It's awesome. Mm. There's even a part where we get to see the dude rip a guy. He's like, help me! And he goes, rips the spine out. I was like, awesome! How does the CW
cool.
get away with this?
They got so mad at Mortal Kombat for doing
I
that.
I know. Now they can do it on the CW. It's no big deal. But here's a great scene. Is basically we find out that Lex is there. He's still in his house, but he's in another dimension. So when Lana gets Chloe to help her come to the house, try to figure out what happened, he can see them there and he's just trying to talk to him. Let's check it out. This is a heart-wrenching scene because you know how much he cares about Lana and you now know her strong feelings for him. Let's check it out. This is very strong emotional stuff.
Thank God someone believes me. You're the first person
Lana.
Who doesn't think I belong in Bellerive.
Lana!
A lot stranger things have happened in Smallville. Don't worry, we'll find him.
Lana, thank God you're all right.
So where exactly was Lex? I think he vaporized. He was somewhere in the middle of the room, like around here.
No. You can't see me.
You said Lex backs up
good
all the footage
there,
on the internal
okay.
server,
spell that out
right?
for the viewer.
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to need a password. You and Lex are close. Are you password close? No, I guess not.
Lana, the password is your birthday.
Why don't you try Julian, his brother, or Lillian, his mom?
Your birthday.
X-Nay. Okay, how about Lana?
Try no. Tron.
You have anything else?
Porn Lover 69.
Don't worry. We'll just upload the whole hard drive, and I'll work on it later.
Yes, I'll just conveniently upload this gigantic hard drive onto my iPod in no time.
In mere seconds. Did you see how fast she uploaded that?
I believe it is Rogaine doesn't work, the password.
Can't be that way, Lana. We're going to get him back.
It is Cy Sperling.
So many doubts. So many suspicions. And now that he's gone, none of it matters anymore. Just want to see his face again.
Me too.
My only question is, if he's in a different frequency so and they can't much. See him, why can he see them?
Plot hole!
And either we'll get a week's worth of footage of Lex
no,
and
I don't
Bourbon
think so,
and Dylan on his computer, or we'll actually...
He's just on a different frequency, not a different dimension.
That's right, Steven.
He's like on the FM bandwidth, so if you like turn to 93.1, he like hosts this
wait
late
a second.
Night.
No, 33.1, Bill.
yes.
That's the secret floor that this meteor freak was kept on.
If I'm on 97.1, I can't hear 96.1 music, and I sure can't see that channel
Steven,
either.
But that's only if you have the radio off. You have to turn the radio on into that frequency.
No, the guy who has the power, he made it so he could. He did it to torture him. See, explained away.
Paying too much with this show.
Now
I'm just looking too hard.
Now we know that pretty much this meteor freak, he wants Lana to help him to explain that their LexCorp is doing, they're studying these meteor freaks, they're exploiting them. They want, he just wants to live his life, and he wants to get it into the press. So they go to the floor 33.1, and it's all gone. It's been moved. I wonder who moved it. Lionel Luthor, you bastard. Meanwhile, Clark, he finds the freak and promptly kicks his ass. That was a pretty cool effect. He throws Clark way up in the air into one of those crane things. And, this is one point I did like, because I was making fun of how all he does is hold up his dad's pendant and immediately defeats the bad guy. Didn't work on this guy. Nope. He said,
"I got you on this episode.
I'm not a phantom Krypton man." He said something like that. No, wait. Hey, Foggy, do you have a clip of that? What did he say?
Nice try, Krypton Man.
Yeah.
Was that Robert Zadar?
It was. It was Maniac Cop. Awesome. That would be cool if he's like, jaw hit. He gets, hits Clark right. He jaw butts him. Awesome. That'd be an awesome move, jaw butt. Dish, dish, dish. You see him moving his head like a chicken. He's like jaw butting him. So, I should direct
an episode. You just created a new term, a jaw butt.
Robert Zadar, call my people. I got a script for you, okay?
It's called jaw butt.
Now, here's the best part of the whole show. This is the best scene. You think that Lex is pretty much screwed, right? No, because Jimmy, he used to be into ham radio. Let's check it out.
Wow. You were a gadget junkie, but this stuff looks like it's from the Jurassic era.
Well, when I heard about Mr. Frequency Jumper, I decided to dust off my pop's old ham radio equipment.
Ham radio?
Yeah, people were communicating worldwide long before the internet existed. I used to sneak
ham
downstairs into late night airwaves. My handle? Jimmy the Infuriator.
Jimmy the Loser.
All right, just listen carefully, girls.
Password. When you guys are close, are you password close?
No, I guess not. Right there. Okay, did you hear that?
How could you not?
That's a radio frequency. And after scanning all the footage, that sound kept coming back. So I tried blending the narrowband frequency modulation with the UHF modulation.
Oh, okay.
Blah, 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 geek speak, blah, blah, blah,
expository dialogue. Weird Al was great in UHF.
The farting channel.
That was him. We're gonna get him back.
I love that giddy whatnot.
Or see him. Oh my god, I just want to see his face again.
Anna, I love you so much.
Oh no, it's EVP!
This may sound absurd,
that is white noise!
But I think that Lex may be trapped
picking
in another
up,
frequency.
Dude's dad that died, whatever his name was.
Wouldn't it have been better if Jimmy was like, I saw this kick-ass Michael Keaton movie recently.
Can we communicate with him?
It's really awesome, I Netflixed
it. Seems to be some sort of frequency loop in the library, so as long as you're in that room, it might be possible.
The best part of that is the meteor freak's name was Kenneth, and Jimmy goes, "What's your frequency, Kenneth?" And then they kicked in with the REM song. It was awesome!
No, I don't want to be too much of a killjoy, but Jimmy could get in a lot of trouble for just coming up with a handle. You need to have a federal license to operate a ham radio.
That's a good point, Bill. I was thinking that, too. And, you know, I paused the show, and I went and looked online, and that is a true fact. And I really hope the writers figure
dorks.
That out for Jimmy.
You know, they're exercising no caution whatsoever. They need to be careful, because these kids could operate these ham radios.
Well, I think they're trivializing a very serious law. I mean, they really need to...
Everybody saw Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy's going
to
get in a lot of
jail.
Trouble.
FCC.
You can't tell me a lot of kids didn't watch Smallville this week, and they're like, ham radio, awesome! And they're like...
I'm giving up my computer, yeah. Ham radio.
Who needs they're all hoping that Samantha Mathis will show up at their house and take her top off
yes.
and have sex with them.
Hell, I'll risk it! Okay. Also, Lex finds out Lana's pregnant, and everything's happy. He proposes to her at the end. It was very.
And they're back.
It was very
romantic.
They come
back due to Jimmy's efforts and neutralizing the frequency.
And also, the part where Lex stabs the guy, it was very reminiscent of the very disturbing scene from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, there's only so much. It's just that was really disturbing, because that scene in Saving Private Ryan is just painful to watch, and for them to just throw it into something like Smallville, it just doesn't fit.
And another thing is, the guy's laying dead behind them, and they're like making out with the dead guy behind them.
Nothing that makes you quite more horny than murder.
Okay, and now let's cut to Clark. He's found the Phantom Zone dude. He's a real jerk. He likes to eat people's bone marrow.
He's
Clark offers no resistance. He gets his ass kicked pretty fast. He's
from a suplex to a backbreaker.
The guy's about to snap his spine on his knee, and all of a sudden, the guy falls over dead, and all Clark sees is an Oreo at his foot, right?
And there's a hand brand in the guy's back.
Yeah, and he runs after a guy, and he sees a mysterious silhouette with glowing eyes. He's like, did you do that? What the hell? And the guy picks up, flies away, leaving a red tracer in the sky. Later on, he gets home, and there's an Oreo in the barn. So, Bill, who is that guy?
He's mysterious. Now, I believe they're hinting at the fact that it could be John Jones, the Martian Manhunter.
Ah, the Martian.
Famous for Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League. And one thing that what's cool about his character is his character can shapeshift, so he can look like anyone, right?
Yeah.
And he can fly. Mm. He's got heat vision, I believe. He's got a lot of same powers as Superman. And even Clark says, he can do things I can only dream of. And it's like, no, have you even tried to fly, Clark? Because you can. I mean, this
he
is...
He hasn't completed his training.
Here's my problem with...
Well, he flew when he had the red kryptonite ring.
Right, but, okay, the guys who created Smallville said, we'll never see him fly. Isn't that one of the rules? Or we'll never see him in the suit? Which was the rule?
I think they said both, but I call bullshit on the fly thing.
Because, okay, here it is.
Well, he flew.
Superman... No, wait. You're from Krypton. Superman would have figured out he could fly a long time ago. I'm thinking when he was like 8 or 10 or something. Because when you're a kid, you play around about being able to fly. He would have discovered it. He would know by now. I think it's silly for him to... He's got to get an instruction manual, like the greatest American hero from the Fortress of Solitude, from his dad. And he finally reads it. And, oh, hey, I can fly this whole time. I can't. I don't know. He can fly. I wish they would just get to that, don't you? Instead of the... Hey, I showed up as soon as I could.
I ran everywhere.
Are you guys getting sick
of super jump?
The running sound effects. He's a whoosh, and they would show papers flying.
I mean, how many pairs of shoes would he have gone through by now?
Yeah, but Bill, when you say you call bullshit, you're thinking the same thing, right? That he would have just on accident discovered he could fly, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they're dragging out this he can't fly thing a little too long.
Yeah, the guy's like what 34 now on the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think he's supposed to be, what, 13 on the show?
Yeah.
He's actually 34.
He's 13. Great Smallville, guys. Let's check out BSG. Now, let's talk about something that's pretty cool, bro. Is that Carl Laemmle does the voice to the Martian Manhunter on the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. And he was in this week's Battlestar Galactica. 6 degrees of Martian Manhunter. Or would that be 2 degrees? Okay, anyway. What did you guys think of this episode? It was definitely...
I thought it dragged.
It definitely wasn't in the overall story arc, right? It wasn't as...
No. It was a little side... Yeah, it was a little side bit. Kind of like a precursor, almost, story.
I like some of the information that it conveyed, and that was that pre-Cylon War, Adama was on a ship. He was in the command of a ship called the Valkyrie, and they sent him on a mission to go to the Cylon Armistice line, send a guy over and see if there was anything there. Basically, there are some mystery ships there, and he has to shoot down Bulldog, Carl Laemmle's ship. He figures he's dead, but really gets captured by the Cylons. What Carl Laemmle thought they were there for was these Taurons mining ore too close to the line. They had to get him out of there, right? So all that time, he was there on a BS explanation. I thought this was a very important kind of point to the in the show, was that he realizes maybe they saw that and they're like, well, we've got to do something because they just showed up here, the humans. They're going to come back. They want a war.
They're
going to
attack us.
They're going to attack us. And I thought that was really an interesting thing they did there.
So, yeah, Adama essentially thinks he started the Cylon War.
Right, and Apollo has a nice father-son chat with him where he's like, they would have sent, they had, maybe they went there because they wanted you to provoke something. They wanted a war, something to happen. Bulldog shows up at the beginning of the show. You know, Adama is the only one who seems to know him besides Ty, and they're happy to see him. Adama starts, you could tell something's going on with him, and he goes to talk to Colonel Ty to talk about it. Let's check this out.
Daniel Novacek just escaped from POW cell on a Cylon base ship. Stole a Raider, flew it here. I just finished debriefing him.
Bulldog's alive?
Yeah.
My gods. How could he be alive? That tough son of a bitch, he actually made it, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess he did.
So, are you here to talk to your friend or to your XO? And last time I checked, it was neither. Oh, I get it. Oh, yeah. Well, this is gonna be a little complicated for you, isn't it, Admiral?
Would you do it? You're gonna tell him raspy. What you did?
So tell him.
Oh, I get it.
It's not going to make any difference. The past is the past.
And the whole thing was he needed to tell him the Cylons didn't shoot you down. We shot you down because we didn't want it to look like an act of war. And I thought there was a really cool kind of flashback to him on the ship. Did you guys like this where Deanna is tormenting him and he finally punches her right in the nose, killing her instantly? Sending bone fragments into her brain, just like Patton in Firestarter with Drew Barrymore. You guys remember that? George
oh
C. Scott.
God.
Starbuck discovers that they just let him go. And I thought this was kind of thin. Okay, the Cylons let him go, so maybe he would be vengeful once he found out and want to kill Adama, because he almost did. But are you telling me that the Cylons foresaw that happening?
Well, if they think that the humans are kind of flawed in that essence, yeah.
Right, but do they want Adama dead, really? This is the problem I have.
They want infighting.
I get
amongst humans.
And this, I think this whole episode existed. It's not about Carl Lumley. It was about getting Ty back on his feet, getting him out of his stupor. Because you see,
finally getting a friggin' eye patch on.
Yeah, awesome! How sweet! How sweet was that eye patch?
At the end, nice.
I was a little disappointed there was no insignia on it. That, they need to add that later. But
like, it wasn't black, so it wasn't like a pirate. It was all flesh colored.
Yeah, but and yeah. Then Adama says, "Tell me what happened to Ellen," and he's like, "You got a drink," and they start drinking, and that's the end of the episode. But I guess. They want Carl Lumley to come back on the show, the character of Bulldog, but he can't be on every week, so send him over to the science vessel for some psychiatric help. Is that what it seemed like they were doing? They go, like, the doctor's waiting for you over there, and he was going to go over there. So until they need him back on the show, he's going to be on a science vessel, right?
He's elsewhere.
Thanks for your introduction. We'll see you later.
But I thought
But then again, they might be saving him up for something good.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Because they made sure to tell us that he was Adama's top pilot. So he might rival Starbuck in piloting skills, so he'll be back. But how much do you like this actor, Bill? How great was Carl on the show?
He was really good. I dare say he's actually better acting-wise than a lot of the people on the show.
He showed off his chops.
Yeah, him and Edward James Olmos are just terrific. I think that's the best thing about the show is just the play that they gave off in this episode.
Yeah, and
really
not enough is said about Mary McDonnell. I think she's great as the president on the show. And I was glad they didn't have a lot of Hilo because I'm still angry at him from last week.
Damn it.
He's a wuss.
He's like, who's this Bulldog guy? I don't know if we should really let him on the ship because Section 321 and the rule book. He's like, Hilo, go to your quarters. Like, he's always just raining on everyone's
with
parade.
Your Barbies.
Like,
Hilo is the hall monitor of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, he goes into the mess hall.
I used to be Felix.
Guys, alcohol's not allowed in here this time of day. I think it's like, dude, waste him.
We're going to send you out an airlock.
Yeah, they would have a long time ago, don't you think? Airlock!
Yeah, they would have airlocked
him. Well, remember, Gaeta used to be the one that was the hall monitor. He called the whole thing with a fake election, and he would always be the one that would point out, hey,
I think Gaeta learned his lesson.
Yeah, he definitely did. Oh, what, I forgot about a funny part in the show was at the beginning where Rosalind's assistant has a painting of Baltar, and she's like, where do you want me to put this?
Is there anyone? The toilet.
Yeah. And also they showed that Deanna and Caprica and Baltar, I'm that little menage a trois.
Do you think that she bought the whole thing, you know, when he's being tortured, you know?
He
really loves us.
Dude, he's screwing every robot left and right. What was with the weird scene where Deanna's telling the Centurion, after you do this, erase your memory of everything in this, execute, and he shoots her, and then she goes through this weird vision, and then she wakes up and says how great death is or something? What is
that point between life and death?
Yeah, what is going on there?
She was in that theater that Baltar and Six were in at the end of the first season.
I really hope they know where they're going with that, because I'm really curious about that. I found that very interesting.
Am I wrong? I thought that was the same place.
No, I thought
place.
That too. Like, she was looking at the cradle or something. And are you guys starting to think this about the baby? The baby will not show up again on the show till it's like a five-year-old. Maybe that's why they're not showing it, because they're like, we can't have a baby every week.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything.
But do you think the little baby will be like, I don't want that. It's like, oh, my head. Oh!
I would just like to know why she's killed and then she's there. I mean, why? What's the importance of it? Why do they keep tickling our ass with that?
Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going on there. 2 weeks, BSG will be back. And was that not the weirdest scenes to a next episode you've seen on Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
It's a boxing episode where they're all beating the crap out of each other. I don't know where they're going with this, but this is what I love about Battlestar Galactica. I never know what the hell's going to go happen on this show.
Yeah.
Let's do the news. Okay. All right, Krypton woman, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, in Kansas, two students are accused of putting staples in ketchup at the Winfield High School and middle schools, an incident that had school officials reviewing their kitchen access policy. Officials were alerted after two students eating lunch found the staples in their food Wednesday. Food service workers found more staples in the bottom of the ketchup bins being used in the lunch lines. They quickly removed hamburgers from the menu and called the police. After investigating, police learned the staples were placed in the ketchup last week. They said no further arrests were expected. School officials said they will look at changing their policy for allowing students in the kitchen. The students arrested could be suspended for a short term or be expelled. A hearing to decide their punishment has not been held.
They've just like a gigantic bucket of ketchup that they poured staples in.
Have you not seen those before? It's like it's like generic. It just says ketchup.
Like you get at Costco's or something?
Yeah.
So they thought they were putting
it. Don't they put it in a dispenser or something?
Yeah, what they do is they pour it, and then you pour it in those things that have the pump on it so you can pump out the ketchup.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at.
No,
did they
like,
discover these staples before they were? When I saw
it
on
the news, it looked like they were in like it's like they had like ladles in there. You know, it's like
wouldn't eat ketchup like that.
No way.
But here's the thing: they thought they were being funny, playing practical joke, but someone could have dropped dead from this. Like,
I don't eat anything in open containers.
Ripped open their esophagus or something, and it's like this is going to be such a funny practical joke.
But I remember there was a news story a few years ago about these two kids on top of an overpass, and they threw a thing of acid on someone's car. And they burned the woman. She was on her way to taking somebody to the airport. I don't remember what it was, but it burned her so badly her face and her arms melted, and she had to go through dozens of different surgeries.
That is one big
She should have kept it that way. She could have been the Ms. Toxic Avenger.
it was sad, you know. She's just on her way. You know, you never think about it. You drive in, and all of a sudden, bam, Singapore is playing matchmaker again. Desperate to boost its fertility rate, the government of the city-state says it will fund new services and activities that encourage dating. The government said on Friday it will pay up to 80% of costs, which is up to their equivalent of $50,000, for approved projects that provide gender-balanced social interaction opportunities to singles. Interested parties can apply at their website. Singapore is on a drive to get its hard-working citizens to mix and mingle more often. In other words, screw. Introducing campaigns such as Romancing Singapore and offering financial incentives to encourage bigger families.
He's sorry, nice, guy. Singapore, let's do it.
I don't think romantic.
The island state ranked 40th out of 41 countries in a survey on how frequently people have sex, according to the Durex Global Sex Survey. With just 4.4 million people, Singapore cannot afford to see its population shrink, as that could affect its labor market and talent pool. Its fertility rate. Yeah, I know. Its fertility rate, defined as the average number of babies born to women during their reproductive years, hit a low of only 1.24 last year, below the 2.1 needed to sustain the population.
It's a balanced thing. You can say, hey, have more sex, but if you say have more sex to have more children, it makes it hard to do that. You gotta not mention the kids till after the thing. Yeah.
Nobody wants to have sex in a third world country.
Yeah, when I think of Singapore, I think large, unidentifiable insects is what I think of. And then you eat them.
1, 2, 3. Go and eat it.
Exactly.
But could you imagine if the United States government said, okay, guys, we'll pay you $10,000 if you go knock a woman up. I mean, that's pretty much what they're doing. They're paying, giving guys and girls money if they have a child. So for every child they have, they give them what their equivalent of $50,000.
No, we don't have that quite that problem. We need to do the reverse of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We need to give people a test before they have children.
Oh, amen to that. What's a television without its remote control? Not much, decided the thief in southwestern France, who returned to the home from which he had just stolen a TV to get the remote control and was arrested.
Sorry.
Especially,
I got the remote.
If it was an HD TV, he'd need the remote, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah.
TVs now, you cannot use the TV without a remote. It pisses me off because if I can't find the remote, I'm like, I can't even freaking like adjust the color or anything on the TV. It pisses me off.
So that's why I've got this sweet little handheld, you know, pocket PC. It's got a program called Nuvo on it. When I go to hotels, you know, when they got certain things blocked out because they give you just like this basic remote control, I can hack into the.
Nice.
You're such a nerd.
Good job, Steven.
It's
that's
nice.
Awesome.
Hey, man, I've got a special little thing that can hack into hotel TVs, man.
Now, Bill, don't you want to know where he got it, though?
Geeks R Us? R2 gave it to him. Knew it.
While the owner was reporting the theft at the local police station, the thief returned. Alert neighbors tipped off the police, and they caught the man red-handed. He came back to get the remote control, and I guess there's somebody who's daring and there's somebody who's stupid. So this idiot goes right back after he robs the place to get the remote control and gets caught. He
it
deserves
is France.
Better.
You know, if it was Texas, he could have waited for the guy to come back in the house, blew his ass away.
Yep. I love that law. I absolutely love that. When Steven was talking about that thing he has, it reminded me of, do you remember this news story a couple of years ago? This guy figured out, you know how a lot of people have the garage door openers, it's either, there are only like three brands or whatever. So he bought all three, and he was going down the street,
accurate?
And he could open.
There's only a few frequencies, there were only a few frequencies then.
Okay. So he was opening people's garages and checking to see if he can get in the house. I mean,
hey, Steven.
Well, that guy's a jerk.
Yeah,
the jerk sure called. They were all out of him.
Yeah, but the company's changed that. They now have that random code thing.
Yeah, thank God.
Hey, Steven.
All right, in Florida, a small black object that was found in the
house
to the
that
bottom
is so racist.
Small black child.
Wait, say again? All right, in Florida, a small black object that was found attached to the bottom of a woman's Jeep and prompted an evacuation of a 3-square-block area on Friday wasn't a bomb after all. It was a tracking device planted by the woman's husband. A temporary shelter was set up at the Queen of Peace Church to house the 45 people who had been evacuated, while authorities investigated for over 2 hours. After learning the woman and her husband were going through a divorce, detectives learned that the woman's husband had hired a private investigator. He had admitted to attaching the tracking device to the woman's Jeep. Bomb technicians had to use a robot to confirm that it was indeed a global positioning device.
Robot?
This guy got so busted trying to tail his wife. And in a big way, to the point they'd evacuate.
What's wrong with attaching a GPS box?
There's nothing wrong
with them.
What I want to know is why.
I don't know.
Why couldn't he have used a small white object?
Yeah, why does everything have to be black?
Because it's a lot more.
Why does everyone have to make this a racist subject?
Yeah.
Steven is my name.
But no, they had this whole program about the, I think it was on Tech TV, about the new devices you can buy. And they had this story about this husband who believed his wife was cheating. So he bought like $10,000 worth of equipment, Vanessa, like the little button cams, the little microphones and all that. And she found them, wasn't cheating, and she ended up divorcing him because he didn't trust her. And the whole time she wasn't cheating anyway. So
and he maxed out their credit cards.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because he was a psycho. And she kept telling him, no, I'm
right.
Going to the gym. Yeah, right. So he pretty much screwed his own marriage that way, being too paranoid. So unless you have evidence, don't claim your wife or husband's cheating. That's your...
Well, that's great, Larry.
Yeah, call cheaters.
Yeah, and you know what? Usually when that happens is because the other spouse feels guilty because they cheated.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anytime you see somebody who's really jealous, it makes you wonder about them.
Right.
Because either they've cheated before, or sometimes they had someone cheat on them, but most of the time, if they're that insecure, I would stay away from them anyway. All right, finally, here's the big story everybody's already heard about. The lavish weekend wedding of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes bore many symbols of the singular 18-month relationship between the two stars. The decorous romantic setting of a 15th century castle in Bracciano, Italy, was reminiscent of the fairy tale quality of the actors' courtship. The
Elrond
much younger Holmes.
Praised.
Much younger.
Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
Oh, yeah.
The much younger Holmes, 27, had once remarked that she grew up wanting to wed the risky business star. I used to think I was going to marry Tom Cruise, Holmes told 17 Magazine, before she and Cruise, who is 44, began dating. No, that's my version of her voice.
I don't
but
like
the, young...
the Scientology business. Yuck, yuck, yuck!
But the young girl fantasy theme to the Cruise and Holmes wedding, because I will refuse to ever use Tomcat, has never been the dominant
one. You just did.
That was my point. They have instead been renowned for extreme publicness and perceived peculiarity. In short, it's not a relationship that anyone has ever really understood. After exchanging vows before a Scientology minister Saturday, Cruise and Holmes engaged in a never-ending kiss. According to Giorgio Armani, who attended the wedding outside of Rome and designed the outfits of the bride, the groom, and their baby, Suri.
An electropsychometer.
That kiss could be seen as a sweet gesture or as a reminder of the hyper-love the couple has openly displayed since they have first announced their relationship in 2005 in Rome. Just a month later, Cruise was hopping on Oprah Winfrey's couch, which she wasn't even invited to the wedding.
That was
no, because she's
ago,
been critical of Scientology. She said that he'd
like you to consider Scientology.
His couch jumping thing was fake.
Oh, I thought it was too. I saw a clip of it. It looked so rehearsed to me. But,
I wonder if he chose like what couch was good for him to jump.
Yeah, this isn't supportive enough. Could you bring in the Barco lounger for a second? And,
this one's a little too springy. I don't want this much lift.
I might fly off.
At the wedding, was Kirstie Alley invited? Ann Archer, Will Smith, Jada, all of them.
Will Smith and Jada were there.
Giovanni.
I don't know about Giovanni Ribisi, but...
They had a list of all their weddings.
Travolta was there.
A lot of celebrity Scientologists were there.
Guess who else was there?
Who?
Brooke Shields.
Yes, she was.
That wedding reception was probably a gigantic gay party.
Okay, why was Brooke Shields there? Is it because the whole comments or whatever was supposed to stir up talk and she was actually in on it, or he since kissed her ass to kind of cover up that he was being psychotic?
I think he's trying to show he's
trying
he's
to cover
the bigger
up
man.
His being psychotic.
Yeah, he's being a bigger man. Brooke Shields.
The small man being a big man.
But I can tell you guys this. I'm very happy for them, and I wish them well.
I wish them a happy Xenu New Year.
Happy 6 months.
No, Xenu is evil, Steven.
I know. I want them to have a happy Xenu New Year.
They were talking about the couple's vows Saturday included certain Scientology fundamentals, such as promising never to go to bed without communicating about any differences. That's common sense.
That's every marriage.
Yeah,
I think you said that. Go to bed angry.
Wait a second! They said that at my wedding. Did I have a Scientology wedding and I didn't know?
Some people are trying to say is that they used a Scientology minister that isn't legally allowed to marry them, so they can always say, "Oh, wait, we were never officially married."
Ah, they could easily annul it
when Tom gets tired.
Yeah.
Well, do they not have a marriage license? They have to have a license in like California or wherever where they're living. And they just had the ceremony in Italy because they're pretentious.
Here's what
I
want
to
know.
They actually had to get the certificate in Italy.
They got married. They got married. It says they officiated their marriage in Los Angeles before they left for Italy.
That's what I thought.
Well, here's what I want to know is when Tom Cruise was married to Nicole Kidman, Katie was his beard, then Nicole Kidman was his beard, right?
Mm-hmm.
She married him for a sham marriage, right?
Right.
Well, for popularity, the whole idea is that it's a mutually beneficiary relationship.
And did it make her a star, or was she already? I can't even remember.
No, she was an up and coming.
She married him after Days of Thunder.
Right.
And then they did Far and Away, and then she got out on her own.
Okay. So it did work for her, and then they went their separate ways.
See, the problem with Katie Holmes is it's not going to work for her because she's a horrible actress.
Well, I mean, I got to say this. I had no problem with Katie Holmes. I thought she was cute and cuddly on the creek, and she's not a great actress at all. But I'm saying that I don't see how this benefited her career at all. Instead, I think it ruined her career. We'll see when she makes another movie, but I'm just saying
she's taking time off.
It did make her a household name for people who didn't know before. They know who Tom Cruise married. But I'm saying, was it really a positive?
What do you mean by that?
But I got to say, honestly, a lot of his crazy shenanigans did kind of be like, dude, I don't even want to look at this dude's face, all right?
I've never liked him since day one. I didn't care for the Risky Business.
Were
you
like,
know?
There's something about this guy that just irks me, man.
I didn't like Risky Business.
He was great in losing
you
it.
You didn't care for the Risky Business. I didn't care for the Risky Business.
What Tom Cruise movies, honestly? Name a Tom Cruise movie that was absolutely god awful.
Risky Business.
No.
Well, that's a good movie. Most people would agree.
See, I loved Risky Business.
I like Risky Business.
You know, how can you not like a movie where Guido the Killer Pimp is changing?
I know you can. Yeah, I know.
Top Gun is laughable. It's so bad. The dialogue.
I can't think of the name of it, but the one with the Shelley Long where they go to Mexico.
Oh, losing it.
Yeah.
Losing It. Yeah, that's
awesome.
They go to have sex with Mexican whores in Tijuana.
Nothing I can't do with a race car.
The kid from Bad News Bears gets Spanish Fly.
Yeah, Spanish Fly.
Oh, that was horrid.
Tom Cruise is about to go shoot a new movie with Robert Redford called Lions for Lambs. He's starting in January, and Holmes is taking time off probably for the baby or who knows to rub Tom Cruise's feet.
Probably to clear her thetans.
All I know is I've seen Suri. Suri's an adorable baby. They need to take time off, stop working, and just raise that child because he's beautiful. And it's the second coming, by the way.
Yes.
With a job like acting, you know, where they have to travel a lot and, you know, they're gone, I think they either the mother or the father or both should take at least a couple of months off.
I'm saying it's Suri. It's the second coming. Take some time off.
Well, they probably have her in, like, this Scientology lab.
Zing!
Examine her blood and study her mind and try to get
Alright, Vanessa, you got any more news?
Oh, that's all I've got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news.
You're quite welcome.
Bill, we got any cold news?
No, let's just go to DVDs.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I think we covered enough Tom Cruise information.
Yeah, I think we Tom Cruise the hell out of everyone.
Yes.
Let's go to DVDs, baby! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! 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 HD, Blu-ray, extended definition! DVDs!
Oh yeah, baby! DVDs! That's what I'm talking about, damn it.
Damn it!
Now what do we got in DVDs this week, Bill?
Oh, I get it.
Colonel Ty is awful sexy there.
Yeah, Colonel Ty had to release an album doing Barry White songs. Awesome!
Barry. These are DVDs for November 21st, 2006. We're going to start with one of my all-time favorite shows. It faltered through the seasons, but we finally get its last season on DVD, and that's Alias, with the complete fifth season and
get
final
out.
Season.
Nice. Now, I'm going to say that I think you have to buy this to complete the set, but I was very unhappy with the whole series ended. So,
yeah, so
do I buy it? Do I not? Do I protest? Do not purchase it? What do I do?
Well, if I didn't already own, you know, seasons 1 through 4, I would definitely pick up the complete series box that is in this Rimbaldi mock-up.
Yes.
It's the coolest complete series box
It looks
set
like
I've
the Hellraiser cube, what it looks like to me.
It looks like the Hellraiser
The puzzle cube. Box.
The box opens, like, you take the top off and the 4 sides fall down, and then it looks like a library collection.
We'll tear your soul apart.
It's just really cool how it looks.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Next DVD is, now this is terrific. I've been waiting for this for years. I've had to use that video on YouTube of the kids singing the Final Countdown to satiate my hunger for Europe. But now we have Europe, the Final Countdown Tour, live in Sweden, 1986.
Nice.
Flashback to the times of big hair, makeup, and spandex, and jam out to this wonderful concert. 13 songs in Solnahalla. What is it? Solnahalla in
Winnie the
Stockholm.
Pooh lives?
1986.
That's where Kenny Loggins did that poo corner thing, I think.
I love that song.
Christopher Ramen. I got nothing.
Got to get back to poo corner. Yeah, I'm going to have to put that on loop after we're done. But yeah, I'm definitely going to pick this up because it definitely is the Final Countdown.
We living together. Dun, dun. Awesome.
Next DVD. This is a film that you either love or hate, and I can't really say I love it. It's A Fish Called Wanda Collector's Edition.
I love Fish Called Wanda.
This was
First
written by John
good.
Cleese and another guy. I can't remember his name.
Wow.
But it has a lot of the Monty Python people in it, along with Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Kline. And it's bad.
What, A Fish Called Wanda?
Yeah. I just did not find this movie funny at all.
What the hell? Dude, yeah. It's a classic, man. It's awesome.
Wouldn't they call it? What was the other one that was supposed to be the takeoff?
Fierce Creatures.
Fierce Creatures.
Yeah, Fierce Creatures.
But that's not the same thing. It's not even a sequel. It's just the same people. Same actors in a different movie, different roles. But
now, I haven't seen this movie again in quite a while, maybe like 5 to 10 years. But I just remember really hating it.
How do you feel about the movie, Steve?
I loved Fish Called Wanda.
I think that I liked it, but it grew on me where I loved it over time. You know, like you see it over and over again on cable and stuff.
Sure.
It's now where I have a nostalgia for it, where I see it, and I got to watch the whole thing. I think it's funny.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to put it on my Netflix queue just to rent it and watch it again. Because, you know, I remember when MTV started showing the Monty Pythons in the early 90s, late 80s.
Right.
Like, they'd show them at, like, midnight. I started watching that, and I just fell in love with that show, and I really grew to appreciate Monty Python and the whole ridiculous dry comedy.
Yeah, just try it again. Give it one more chance.
Yeah, I'll give it another chance.
Because you got to love Ken in that.
It's definitely a movie that should be on everyone's shelf. I'll say that.
Now, I know last week we talked about the wonderful Ron Howard and his hacky direction. To capitalize on the release of Da Vinci Code last week, they're releasing Grand Theft Auto, the tricked-out edition.
We talked about that last week.
The 1977 Roger Corman Presents film.
And who knew that later on they would base a video game off of it? Awesome! Actually, I think I'm wrong about that, aren't I?
Four video games.
I think they just used the name.
Now, what I heard is, now tell me if this is true, that Rockstar Games had to pay Ron Howard $1 billion to use that title. Is that true?
I doubt that.
Okay, urban legend. Okay, urban myth. Alfonso Ribeiro actually owned the rights to it.
And he gave him up once he spun his head and broke his neck.
Once he broke his neck, he gave up all ownership of it. So it went to the Carlton estate, if you will. Okay.
Carlton estate. Oh, God.
Pleasuring himself.
I remember watching this in the theater with my father. I don't know how young I was, but I thought it was the greatest film ever. And that just shows my age. And that's Home Alone.
Did you realize that that's, you know, it's a criminal act to do that in public?
Yeah, I know. I'm still paying my dues.
I saw Home Alone in the theater too, and I was like, dude, this is the number one movie. What the hell, man? I saw like old people like stomping their feet. They're laughing so hard. I guess I'm not a big slapstick person or something. I think Three Stooges is funny. This movie was not funny.
See, the last like 5 or 10 minutes is funny, and that's about it. You know.
Yeah, I was still pretty young, and I just thought Joe Pesci getting his head torched was just hilarious for some reason. Now I see it, and I go, God, this is horrible. Then I loved it, and I'm sure some kids would still
crack
like
of
it.
Shit.
I get so angry.
Now, would you own it now?
No, absolutely not.
Whatever happened to John Hughes? He wrote that, right? He created
the
Home Alone.
Yeah, he did write that. In fact, I think he wrote 1, 2, and 4.
And then he disappeared off the face of the earth, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he went to Shermer, Illinois.
Where the hell's John Hughes needs to be writing a show for HBO or something? Something like 6 Feet Under or something. Can we please get some John Hughes back?
Come on, John. Get to work.
For Christ's sake.
I would love a new John Hughes movie.
Yeah, me too.
That
awesome.
Would rock.
Rumored Breakfast Club sequel of them as adults, I think, would be awesome. I want to see it.
Well, there's another, you know, the rumored Breakfast Club sequel, and I wish they would get off their ass and make the sequel to The Goonies.
Oh, hell yes. That's what I'm
talking
about.
You know, they even talked about it on the commentary track of the DVD. Next DVD is the first season of How I Met Your Mother.
Wow. Awesome!
Spooky.
CBS sitcom with the newly outed Neil Patrick Harris and Allison Hannigan. And who's the guy that plays Marshall? He was in Freaks and Geeks, right?
Yeah, Jason something. I'm self-centered so I can remember his first name.
it doesn't really matter. But
high five for that.
Thank you.
If you're a real fan of the show, you probably want to pick this up. I know there's a lot of people that really love it. I just started watching it recently. And I'm kind of digging it, even though, as I've said before, I'm not really a sitcom kind
of
guy.
It's one of those sitcoms that my wife and I, we watch every week, and we laugh our asses off. It's...
I think the thing I enjoy about it the most is that it just doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah, not at all. They have the goofiest episodes. My favorite episode was one where they go to a loud nightclub, and it's all subtitled because you can't hear their voices. That was a great episode. But they do a lot of funny stuff on the show. I'd definitely check it out.
Next DVD is, I have no idea who or why would ever buy this. If you're willing to pay $20 for a 26-minute DVD, you're insane.
Yeah.
And it's on every year. It's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Deluxe Edition. Hey, I'm not that catty. I'm just saying that, you know, this is on every year.
Dude, $6.99 in the bargain bin, no $20. Come on.
Who's gonna pay $20 for something that has deluxe edition slapped on it?
Now,
it's
if it was
26 minutes long.
If it was the Jim Carrey version, Ron Howard, hello, I'd pay $30.
See, that should actually be $2 and in the bin.
I'm a black girl.
Okay. Next DVD is Ice Age 2, The Meltdown. The sequel to Ice Age.
I
didn't realize
that. My daughter loves Ice Age. I'm going to have to get it. She loves it.
See, I saw the first one and thought it was okay, but I might rent this one just to see it.
My daughter has titles for every movie. Ice Age is actually titled Baby. It's just called Baby. Because there's a baby in it, so it's just called
Baby.
Well,
good thing you shouldn't have her watch Baby Secret of the Lost Legend. That might confuse her.
Yeah, Sean Young is great in that, by the way.
I love the fake dinosaur. That's just terrific.
I gotta tell you, I am so excited.
Next DVD is the Al Gore opus, An Inconvenient Truth.
It's not convenient enough for me to watch this. I just, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, it's very inconvenient. This is a 96-minute documentary about global warming. It includes an update with former Vice President Al Gore. The making of this documentary, I Need to Wake Up, which is a music video by Melissa Etheridge.
That's a selling point.
He just sold me on not buying it.
It'll be on IFC in 2 months. Just wait. I'm going to watch it on IFC.
Next DVD is a show that I actually watched and liked. It's called Invader Zim.
Listen, you stupid fat mouth. Bring me a ticket here.
This is a cartoon that was on Nickelodeon, and it's really reminiscent of the, I would almost have to say, the Ren and Stimpy era of Nickelodeon cartoons. It's just really crazy about this little alien named Zim who's banished by his group of aliens to Earth, and he's obsessed with taking over the Earth and killing all humans.
Hey.
But he's sort of incompetent. But it's a really funny show. It's really enjoyable, especially for adults and kids.
Hey, you sold me, man. I'm going out to get it.
It's coming around that time where we're going to get barraged by the Christmas commercialism. And DVDs are going to be attacked also.
Right.
And
that, about Christmas? All I want is DVDs. If people just got me DVDs for Christmas, I'm happy. It's good
stuff.
Well,
maybe you can get this one if you don't already own it, even though it's on TV constantly around Christmas. Miracle on 34th Street, special edition.
Yeah, I'm afraid something inside me died.
Because this movie was so damn special.
You know what? I can't sit through that piece of horse shit.
No,
it
is so boring.
You mean they take Santa Claus to court?
God, I mean, this movie had to be horrid in 1947, let alone now.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry, Bill.
That's all right.
Bill, you're so pretentious.
Yes, I am. And I'm proud of it. Now, speaking of pretentious, even though it doesn't really apply to this, The Punisher Extended Cut.
Oh, hell yes!
If you couldn't get enough Thomas Jane and John Travolta action,
no.
Why not get a longer version?
Oh, man, I am there. Hello, Christmas gift. I want this under my tree.
They added over 17 minutes of additional
material. When they
material.
Pan out completely at the end of the skull, the whole thing looks like a shirt.
Sweet. 17 minutes? Are you kidding me?
Yes, the movie is now, 140 minutes. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes
long. Holy crap,
long.
It's like Apocalypse Redux. It's the Punisher Redux. Awesome. And you know what? It even has characterization this time.
Nice.
That character, Bumpo, life story. It's right in the middle of the movie to cut it out. Now we know what that fat dude was up to all of his life.
Why he's there in the in that abandoned apartment complex.
Exactly.
It says on the back of this edition that it is a tale true to its Marvel Comics origin. Don't believe that at all.
But, you know, one thing I did like about the movie is how they killed... In the comic books, they killed his wife and 2 kids. In the movie... They kill everyone that's related to him.
Yeah.
They kill his grandfather, his uncle, his second cousin. They kill everybody. They waste every single person. It was awesome. I thought that was really cool. Is there a way to piss a dude off? Let's kill
his dog. Yeah, I think that was the best part of the movie, sadly. Next DVD is Woody Allen film Scoop, which is the second film of his London stay. It's,
Thank you. Good night.
Scarlett Johansson and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, where Scarlett Johansson tries to carry yet another movie and fails. Thank you.
Yeah, she really just needs to stop with this movie thing.
Honey,
I don't think
it's called ensemble acting. Try it.
Next DVD. That's all we can say about it. I mean, it's just she's that bad. She may be mildly attractive and have beautiful, gigantic breasts, but she can't act. Maybe she should be like a Playboy model. That'd be better.
Yeah.
That'd probably work for her. I don't understand this DVD release. I'm just totally flabbergasted. Lionsgate is releasing or re-releasing films with THX certification.
Really?
So they're releasing Stargate, the extended cut high-res edition.
What the hell was that?
I guess they're just slapping high-res on a re-release, people are going to go, ooh.
Why not just release it on HD, not another standard definition version?
You know, I think it's Lionsgate's sort of version of Columbia or Sony Pictures Superbit editions.
Oh, I gotcha. But they already released a special Stargate Ultimate Edition and DTS and everything.
Yeah.
The movie wasn't good enough to double dip, let alone triple dip, so no thank you.
And yet, it'll be a quadruple dip when they do a high def version.
Right.
Yeah, I won't buy that.
Well, yeah, just...
And nobody's bought any of them so far.
Just play a regular version on your PS3. That's about all it can handle anyway. Until they get that... until they get a firmware fix on it and they'll play HD. You know what I'm saying?
Next DVD set is Star Trek the Animated Series
Zing!
From the early 70s.
I wrote that joke before the show.
Should you say it again just so everybody hears it?
Oh, no. Trek... what'd you say came out? Star Trek what? It only works once.
I'm sorry. I didn't even hear it. I'm sad that I didn't hear it. I want to hear it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe listen back to the show.
I don't remember what I said.
Hey, Steven. I'm not being mean. I wasn't being mean. I'm just saying... It wasn't working yet.
I love that.
Drop! So the next DVD is Star Trek, the Animated Series. This is from the early 70s. I remember watching it as a kid in repeats. I think it has actually all the actors from the original series doing the voices.
Right.
Am I wrong or right?
I believe you're correct, sir. And
I'm not enough of a Trekkie to really care or know.
The only bad thing about it was the animation sucked ass.
Yeah, this was that old, like, Hanna-Barbera animation. Remember the animation?
It's like a
Super
drawing. It's like a drawing with sound effects.
It's a drawing that they moved the eyes or lips every couple frames.
Yeah. It's like, what kind of animation is this? Doesn't animation have to move?
The last DVD is You, Me, and Dupree. Yeah.
Hey, this
Owen
marks...
Wilson in another piece of shit Hollywood churnout comedy with Matt Dillon and Kate. Yeah, they need to power this sucker down. It didn't get very good reviews.
Has Kate Hudson hot? Do you guys find her hot at all?
I don't find her attractive at all.
She's cute.
She does nothing.
She's
for
too
me.
Petite for me.
Yeah.
I like some meat on the bones, not this. You know what is hot though? In the trailer for this, when she's wearing guy's underwear, there's just something hot about that for some reason.
She's kind of small chested, though.
Well, okay. Yeah, but
Vanessa,
she's got
are
that
you
whole.
Not into that?
Well, no.
Vanessa likes her breasts large.
To me, it just... I don't know. Well, I guess it would be all about proportionate. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm more of an hourglass figure. She's a beanpole.
I mean, someone could be small-chested, but if it looks right...
Like I said, she's just cute. She's not hot.
Anyways, if you're a real big fan of this film, you might want to pick it up because it's got Dupree's memoirs.
Awesome!
Full of outrageous photos and funny stories.
How I scored Kate Hudson from Chris Robinson.
Vanessa, do you find him attractive with that gigantic penis nose?
who's
got like
Luke
Owen Wilson. He's got that like broken nose, and his the tip of it looks like a penis.
Even if he had a regular nose, no, he's not my type.
Even if he had a regular nose,
I don't know how else to say it.
Well, he does not have a regular nose. He's bizarre. His voice, I'm just going to say it, his voice has become more bizarre and nasally since Bottle Rocket.
There's stuff that I love Owen Wilson in, but I got to agree with you on movies like this. It's like, dude, just stop, man. Pick out your projects that are good movies. This isn't just stick with Wes Anderson, all right?
Well, it seems like every movie he's making recently is a paycheck movie.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly.
And that's DVDs for November 21st, 2006.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. We really appreciate it. You made our days brighter and sunnier, and I don't know what that means, but thank you.
All right.
All right, everybody, that was episode 61 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show, thank you for putting up with us, and thank you for not letting it get stale. I don't know what that means, but thank you. Thanks for putting up with our complaints, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for...
Our bad jokes.
Yeah, Steven wrote a couple of doozies back there. We've crumpled them up, and we'll never use them again, right?
Right. One shot.
Don't put those in the filing cabinet, because we like to rehash jokes on this show. If you guys would like to leave a comment and leave a voicemail, 1-206-202-3491. And if you don't want to pay any money for it, send me an MP3 of your comments and even stuff like that.
What the hell? It's like, what am I talking about?
If you would like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, hit the attachment, and then send your sound clip over that way. See, because we're not hypocrites, we will take the good with the bad. And then you take them both, and then you have the facts of life. That's what I'm saying right there. Well, what do you guys think about that? I think it's very awesome.
I love it.
By the way, guys, I once tried to kill myself.
No, say it isn't so.
But that was only after Natalie forced herself upon you, right?
That was the best sex I've ever had.
And then Blair came in. A three-way.
She didn't do anything sexual. She started preaching to me about Christ.
It's pretentious. It's hypocritical. And worst of all, it's not funny anymore. All
right, guys. Before we go, I just want to announce that next week, Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all you. Bill, Vanessa, Steven.
Happy Ramadan.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
But happy Thanksgiving. But we will not be doing the show next week. Why? Why, you say? Because we got to take a week off sometime, and it's the best time because there's no TV next week.
I'm on vacation.
Next week, there will be an after the show to fill in for that because, you know, there will be no BSG anyway. There will be no Smallville. I think there's new heroes, but we'll talk about two heroes. That's all.
Awesome.
And we'll be back then, so I hope you guys enjoy that after the show.
Yeah,
so,
Steven will just have to entertain himself masturbating to internet porn.
Yes! All week. I can just stay up all night.
Nice try. That's a little too emphatic there, Steven.
No denial whatsoever. No, Steven, what are you going to do on your vacation again?
What do I have to do? I've got to get my car inspected.
All right, guys, that's the show. Thanks for listening. We love you. Much love. Goodbye, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bill, say something witty before the music starts.
Well, okay.
There you go.
Jot down a joke real quick.
What the fuck do you want me to say?
life!
Now this is podcasting!